Are you ready to make the most of your oil and gas mineral rights? Welcome to the Mineral Rights Podcast. Get the knowledge and resources you need to manage your minerals and royalties. Here is your host, Matt Sands.
Hello and welcome to the Mineral Rights Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Matt Sands, and I'm here to help you make the most of your mineral rights and royalties. Today, we're going to talk about the scoop, stack, and merge plays in the Anadarko Basin in Oklahoma. But before we get to that, just want to welcome Justin Williams on the show. Hey, Justin.
Thanks, Matt, for having me as always.
Thanks for coming on the show. And another quick reminder before we dive in, please subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And just one thing you could do for us is to leave an honest rating and review. We read every one of them and you'll get a special shout out on the show. And definitely appreciate any feedback that you have. And really, this is the best way to help us reach everyone that needs to hear this information. So if you get a chance, take 1 minute and do that and send it to us, or we'll find it on iTunes and read it on the show. And if you have any questions you'd like to be featured on an upcoming episode, please leave a comment at mineralrightspodcast.com, where you'll find the show notes for this and the other episodes, or you can send me an email to feedback@mineralrightspodcast.com. And let's go ahead and dive in, Justin. Let's talk about the scoop and stack.
Sounds good. So the stack play, located in the Anadarko Basin area of Oklahoma, stack is derived from Sooner Trend Oilfield, Anadarko Basin, Canadian and Kingfisher counties. The majority of the play is located across Canadian and Kingfisher as the core counties, and Dewey, Blaine, Major, Garfield counties as well. Unlike other plays such as the Eagle Ford, Bakken, Granite Wash, the stack is not a geological formation, but a geographic area. The scoop play, otherwise called the South Central Oklahoma Oil Province play, is principally located in the state's Anadarko Basin. The scoop play is generally located in Garvin, Stevens, Murray, and Carter counties. You may also read about the merge play. The merge is the area between the scoop and stack plays and generally covers Cato, Grady, and McLean counties.
You know, still, even despite the downturn and the decrease in the oil price and all the challenges that the shale producers are faced with, this is one area that has remained somewhat of a bright spot, at least up until fairly recently. So between the Permian, which is kind of where the most activity is going on, this is the other area that operators have been focusing a lot of attention on. And the reason for that is related to the geology. So we're going to talk about the geology of these plays within the Anadarko Basin. But before we talk about the scoop and stack plays, we'll take a step back and talk about the Anadarko Basin, which is a large geologic depositional and structural basin, and it's located in western Oklahoma in the Texas Panhandle, and even all the way up into parts of southwestern Kansas and extreme southern Colorado. It is really large. It's about 70,000 square miles in area. Sedimentary rocks from the Cambrian period in the Paleozoic era, which was around 540 to 485 million years ago, through the Permian age, which is around 300 to 250 million years ago, make up the basin. And within the stack play, we'll talk about that first. It is, again, like Justin mentioned, it's not named because of any particular formation, but really for the location. And it is also aptly named because there are multiple stacked formations that are being targeted by operators. And this allows an operator to target multiple formations from a single location. We've talked about the same concept in the Permian Basin, where that's going on as well. Same story here with the scoop and stack. The core area of the stack is around 1,000 square miles in area. So it makes up a small portion of the overall Anadarko Basin, but it really is the focus of a large part of the activity in the basin. And the stack play was discovered by Newfield Exploration in 2011. And the two main producing reservoirs include the Mississippian Merrimack and Osage formations, as well as several other potential targets, including the Morrow, Oswego, and Red Fork. And 2011 is not too far in the past, so this is a relatively new play. Kind of as the shale revolution started, And as operators began testing horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing in some of these unconventional reservoirs and started to see success, this is one of the areas they look to first. The next play is the SCOOP play, and it mainly targets the Devonian to Mississippian aged Woodford Shale. And the Woodford Shale is a silica and highly organic rich black shale that was deposited around 320 to 370 million years ago. And it's interesting because the Woodford Shale was seen as the major source rock for certain plays in the basin back prior to the shale revolution. And it's thought that it provides hydrocarbons to the Hunton Group, the Viola Group, Simpson Group, Arbuckle Group, and others. And these are a lot of the different formations that were targeted up until the early 2000s. And interesting, like other oil and gas plays where the source rock is now the target, this is the same case here. So now we're seeing operators target the Woodford and drill horizontal wells into that shale formation. Justin, do you want to talk about some of the key operators in the area?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. So some of the key operators, Continental Resources, one of the major players, they have a project springboard in the SCOOP where they have 73 miles of continuous leasehold and are using what they call row development to maximize efficiencies. Three reservoirs being targeted are Springer, Sycamore, and the Woodford, with 70 to 85% of production being oil. Basically, this is a full-field development scenario for their acreage, which is a sweet spot of the overpressured oil window of the SCOOP. Devon Energy is another one. It has one of the largest stack positions, recently announced an agreement with Dow to jointly develop a portion of their acreage. Devon had at one time the record-setting wells in the overpressurized oil window of the stack play, at least as of 2017, with a peak 24-hour rate of 6,000 oil equivalent barrels per day, of which 50% of that was oil. So at one time, this was the largest initial production rate of any well in the play. In Canada is another one, approximately 365,000 acres, with 265 of that in the stack and the rest in the SCOOP. And last but not least, Marathon Oil, with approximately 300,000 net surface acres in the stack and SCOOP.
Yeah, and then there's also numerous small independent oil and gas operators in the plays. And these are the largest companies with some of the bigger positions. We spoke with Will Cullen with Longpoint Minerals, which is a sister company of Four Point Energy, which is another operator in the basin. And so there's a lot of companies out there. There have been some issues with some of them. I know that personally, having some minerals in Oklahoma operated by White Star Petroleum, that was one of the recent bankruptcies that occurred and their assets were purchased recently. But there have been several companies that have got into the area when things were looking really good. And once operators found out they really had to be in that sweet spot in the oil window and overpressured area, that those that weren't found that they're producing a lot more gas, which they weren't getting paid as much for, and also just not getting the well results that they were expecting. So it is very dependent on the geology and the operators with that acreage in the core of these formations that we've talked about, I think are going to be the ones that'll rise to the top. But as always, you know, there are issues. And like I mentioned, some of the economic risks, you know, companies that are faced with less than optimal efficiencies and less than optimal rock are going to have a tough time making it work. And there's always that level of economic risk, like we always talk about, due to fluctuating commodity prices. And one of the things that hurts the SCOOP and STACK plays overall, at least to some of the data reported by Platts Analytics, is they have overall lower rate of return as compared to some of the other top tier plays like the Delaware Basin. And for example, the STACK internal rates of return per well was reported at 17% and the SCOOP at 11%, again, according to Platts Analytics. And oil and gas operators are usually targeting an IRR of 20% or higher. And so this may shed some light as to why the rig count in both plays dropped significantly in 2019. Again, there's localized IRRs and economics are likely a lot better than that, but that is what I assume is the average across those plays. So definitely need to be in the right spot in order to make the wells work. And like Justin mentioned, some of the well results are extremely impressive, and that's all well and good. But one of the issues that hurts the economics of those wells is the fact that they're usually quite deep. And so what this means is that the drilling and completions costs are higher when compared to other plays that are maybe in shallower formations with similar well results. And so that is one of the things that hurts the scoop and stack. Another issue that operators are faced with and is causing some of them to look elsewhere is the lack of improvement in production efficiencies. So in other words, the amount of oil and gas that a well produces. And initially, companies were expecting higher initial production rates and higher productivity from some of these wells. And then as they began to understand the geology better, they realized that really there's some variability in the rock quality that's made it hard for them to optimize their completion programs. And so that is one thing that is also going against the scoop and stack. All that said, crude oil production in the scoop and stack recently reached annual highs of 488,000 barrels per day, even as the rig count dropped to new lows that we hadn't seen since 2016. And again, this data is from S&P Global Platts Analytics. And in 2019, in January, operators were running more than 100 rigs, and that dropped to 44 rigs in December. And usually when you hear of a drop in rig count, this would foreshadow a decrease in production, but this doesn't appear to be the case, at least yet, for the scoop and stack. And in this case, the increase in production, despite the drop in rig count, was due to the large inventory of ducks. And I'm not talking about the ducks that go quack, but what's called a drilled but uncompleted well, so a DUC duck. And a lot of those ducks that had been drilled in previous years were completed in the first half of 2019. And so what this caused, even though they're drilling fewer wells, is a lot of those wells that hadn't been completed yet, that inventory that was sitting out there, those wells were brought online. And so that was helping production grow despite the drop in the rig count. I think that we're going to eventually see a drop in production from this area. It may not be until the end of this year, or maybe into 2021, once that duck inventory is used up. And according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, the scoop stack had 679 duck wells at the end of 2019. And this is one of the highest of any of the shale plays. I think only the Permian and maybe a couple others had a higher duck counts. So that's going to help temporarily with the production rates. But at the end of the day, as operators are drilling fewer wells, there's going to be less production coming online, even despite the increase in efficiency in, you know, the amount of time that it takes to drill the wells. You know, compared to back a few years ago, they can drill more wells today with one rig than they could, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. But even still, you got to keep poking holes in the ground in order to increase production. So that's a little bit about the economic risk and some of the factors with these plays that are kind of unique to this area. Justin, do you want to talk a little bit about the political risk?
Let's do it. And this seems to be something unique to the area as well. So Oklahoma is generally favorable to the oil and gas industry, although there have been issues that the industry has had to manage over the past few years, specifically as a result of earthquakes. You may have heard of this increase in earthquakes in Oklahoma in recent years, and it appeared to be caused by the amount of water that was being injected deep underground. In 2015, Oklahoma introduced new wastewater disposal rules, and after they were implemented, the number of earthquakes dropped dramatically. The water is being injected deep into the Arbuckle Formation, and as wastewater changed to pores in the rock layer, they interacted with faults, and this is what could trigger an earthquake. In most cases, earthquakes are not caused by fracking, but by water injection deep underground. That said, the OCC implemented the well completion seismicity protocol, which requires operators to develop and implement a mitigation plan prior to completing any wells and requires that they monitor and take action if any seismic events greater than 2.0 magnitude occur within 5 kilometers of a well. Because operators have had to manage the water injection rates to prevent earthquakes, this can have an impact on production or on the areas that operators choose to drill wells for geologic reasons. Obviously, they want to stay further away from those faults where earthquakes are occurring.
Yeah, and that brings us to the next topic, which is the geologic risk. And so, like Justin mentioned, one of the issues is around managing the earthquakes. And so they have to pick locations that are going to mitigate the likelihood of an earthquake occurring. And this is one factor that goes into where they select locations. And there are also other geologic risks that have affected the production levels in the basin. And one of the risks that operators have found, and like I've alluded to earlier, is that some of the reservoirs in the basin are underpressured. And so where they expected maybe higher well results when they got further away from that core area, they found they were in an underpressured area where they were expecting more oil. They ended up with a lot more gas than expected. And this affects, of course, the overall oil productivity and the profitability of those affected wells. And this becomes a problem in Oklahoma as well due to higher costs associated with transporting natural gas and the low natural gas prices. This sometimes will lead wells to be shut in earlier than expected, you know, in terms of that well life. And so that's something that operators are having to deal with. And even if you're in a good part of the scoop and stack, the plays definitely are sensitive to well spacing, like a lot of these other unconventional formations. And in this particular case, though, there can be a significant amount of interference between wells when spacing is not properly managed. And this can cause a drop in production in the parent well, as well as the new children wells that are drilled afterwards, which end up, again, like I mentioned, causing a lot shorter well life and lower economic returns. When we talk about parent wells, that's the well that they go into a spacing unit and they drill first, and then they say, okay, this is where we're going to file for increased density, drill more wells. They go back later and drill those additional wells, hoping to get similar results. But what ends up happening is all the wells kind of end up coming in lower. So both the new wells that are drilled, and then they actually end up impacting the production from that parent well. And that's not a good thing. And so what they're trying to do is manage, you know, how close can we space these wells together? How many wells per section, per spacing unit? And so those are the types of issues that are being managed. And all that said, that kind of conclusion that you can draw is that you could say that geologic risk is potentially higher than some of the other basins that we've talked about before, like the DJ Basin and the Permian Basin, which we covered in episodes 28 and 30, respectively. And in the case of the scoop and stack, like we've harped on before, you have to be in the sweet spot where there's a good amount of oil, where it's overpressured, and this is where we're seeing operators have the most success. Justin, you want to wrap up with and talking about infrastructure constraints in this area?
Sounds good. Because of the large amount of associated natural gas and natural gas liquids produced in the scoop stack, operators have had to manage the gas pipeline and gas processing capacity. As long as capacity keeps up with new production coming online, things should be okay. For example, the Midship pipeline owned by Cheniere was supposed to come online at the end of 2019, but they announced would now be put into service as of April of 2020. This will add 1.44 BCF a day gas takeaway capacity, which obviously will help to open it up and get it to market. Gas transportation and processing capacity will be something to keep an eye on, as there could be localized efforts on production or activity if the wells come online producing more gas than expected, or where there is a large amount of gas produced in an area that require an operator to temporarily curtail production due to gas handling constraints. And you know, that's something we talk about in a lot of places, is even if they can get it out of the ground, if they can't get it to market, it makes an issue.
Yeah, that's always a big key. It does seem like they're keeping up with things in the scoop and stack as far as the midstream infrastructure. So as new wells are being developed and as companies go into manufacturing mode in some of these sweet spot areas, the midstream operators are coming in and building the capacity to help take away the gas. And so that midship pipeline should help alleviate any takeaway capacity constraints that exist today. And that's definitely going to help the price of gas that you receive on your royalty checks. One of the other comments related to wells that are drilled in Oklahoma in general, and then SCOOP and STACK, it seems like there's a lot, especially if you have an older lease, so you've had a lease that's held by production, there's a lot of potential for post-production costs to be deducted from any gas production that you receive. So those post-production deductions can have a significant impact on your net royalties. And so something to keep in mind in looking in the SCOOP and STACK, if this is an area where you're thinking about investing, definitely be looking at the terms of any lease if it's something that's held by production, or if you're going to negotiate an oil and gas lease here, definitely try to get a lease that doesn't allow post-production deductions. Otherwise, you could see a significant amount of at least the gas royalties go away just because of the ability for the operator to deduct that. So something else to think about as we're talking about gas and capacity and midstream elements. So that wraps up this episode on our overview of the SCOOP, STACK, and merge plays. And like we mentioned before, if this information was useful, please let us know. Either leave us a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this, or send us an email to feedback@mineralrightspodcast.com. If you have any specific questions about the SCOOP and STACK, you can, again, email me and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. And you can find the show notes with links to some of these articles that we found on mineralrightspodcast.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks so much for listening to the Mineral Rights Podcast with your host, Matt Sands. Don't forget to subscribe and share at mineralrightspodcast.com. The Mineral Rights Podcast should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy.